Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Join Gloria Copeland, Billy Brim, and Billy's daughter, Shelley Baggett, for insight into supernatural translations. Discover an instrument God uses to reach His church. Here is Gloria.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. You're going to like today. I have some exciting guests, Billy Brim and her daughter, Shelley Baggett. And we're going to be hearing about Translations
and visions and supernatural things that are going to be happening in the church, even have already happened.
Oh, let's hear it. I like it.
One of the scriptures, you have to have scriptures.
Oh, yeah.
And one of them is Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost. And he said, Acts 2:16, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. These are Jews all around him. They remember the prophet Joel that he said this. And it shall come to pass in the last days or end of days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. Here's what's going to be the sign that it's poured out. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. We're reading prophecies that Brother Hagin made primarily.
Yeah, good.
Came through him. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days in my spirit, and they shall prophesy. So we talked yesterday about visions. Visions are prophesied. We talked about Kenneth E. Hagin and his book, I Believe in Visions, which is in our offer. And then I told you about this young man named Max, and that I'd found out about visions years ago. And that's why when this young former Muslim, Mohammed was his name, when he asked me to, he was born again supernaturally like so many Muslims are, by hearing the voice of God. And then he began to have open-eyed visions of Jesus. He made a trip all the way from Wisconsin with his Christian wife, and his children, and asked me if I would judge those visions. So, he began to call me, and periodically Jesus would appear to him, open-eyed visions, and it would often be something about, for instance, ISIS. He was one of the first ones that I heard about talk about ISIS. And Jesus had told him that what their plans were, how they planned to start in Iraq, come down through, how they even planned to go to Mecca and Medina, and how they planned to come down through Jordan and then to Jerusalem. But Jesus said they won't be able to do it. They won't be able to get it done. So Max, he asked me to judge his visions. I taught him how to judge visions himself, because in the Word of God, it says there are false apostles and deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. This is 2 Corinthians 11:14. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. So it's no big deal if his ministers do so. So I taught him how to judge visions. 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. And then 1 John 4:1 through 3 tells us to test them and see if they confess Jesus Christ came in the flesh. Yeah. So he learned to do that. And then in September 20th, 2016. Now, we had an election November 2nd, 2016. But in September, almost a month and a half before, September 20th, the Lord Jesus appeared to him and said, Donald Trump will be the next president of the United States. So he shared that with me. And I'll read some of the things he said that Jesus told him. I've been preparing him to be the president since 2008. In 2011, he was not ready for the 2012 campaign. In 2013, he became closer to me. In 2015, I guided him to run for president. He's going to have a lot of negativity and a rough road, but he will be the president of the United States, primarily because he is the one who will be protecting the USA, Israel, and Jerusalem.
Praise God.
Jesus told him, we talked about this on the phone with him, he's the chosen one because he will protect Jerusalem. Then Jesus said to him, people will be shocked. Donald Trump is closer to me now than anybody could imagine. I shared that with my family. I urged the prayers to pray. On October 2016, which is just before the election, he had another open-eyed vision. The Lord spoke to him and said, he will be the president, but my children must stand together and pray for him like they have never prayed for a president before. So we have to do, Timothy, 1 Timothy 2:1, first of all, we have to pray for presidents and kings and those in authority. Every single day, devote yourself to pray for our government. If we'd done that before, our presidents would have done better. But this time we have to do. Now, the day before the election, it absolutely looked like Trump could not win. Every poll said he did not win. And Max told me, he said, I got down on my knees. I said, Lord. And he showed me a vision. This time the vision was not of Jesus, but it was of V's. Two V's together all over the sky. And Max said, V in Arabic is seven. So I thought he was doing 77s all over the sky because, you know, seven's a number in the Bible. But Jesus spoke to him and then he said, no, this is in English. These are V's for victory. He will have a double victory. So all over the sky were these double victories. So I was scheduled to be on KCM's election night coverage with David Barton. David Barton and Michelle Bachman. I was just a telephone call in. But they asked me what I thought would happen. So I had to go, but I believe these visions, but the polls said otherwise. So just as much as I could, I said, I believe Trump will win. And on January 14, after he did win, the Lord spoke to him, the last few days before he takes office, it will be very hard for him, hard on his heart and hard on his mind, but he will make it. Christians must stand together and pray daily. So we have to pray. Now, I believe, I don't know, you know, if you believe, not necessarily the authority around here believes this is Donald J. Trump, but I do. I believe that Brother Hagin prophesied there would be a president, and I think it's Donald J. Trump. Now, he prophesied, and we've been reading this Longmont prophecy. And in it, he prophesied that about a move of the Spirit that's coming. And the Longmont prophecy is over there.
Okay.
And
I
start down here. No, that's not the Longmont prophecy. Anyway, praise the Lord.
All right.
I'll read it to you, okay?
Here's one of these.
Here's one right there. And it's, this is not exactly the same pages as mine, but yeah, that's it, Glow. Okay. Right down here.
Got it.
Right down here.
All right.
He prophesied, Brother Hagin prophesied in 1974, there's going to be a move of the Spirit in the last days, which you've only seen a little of. And there shall be those that stand before the leaders of this nation and work miracles. I believe we have leaders in this nation who would accept miracles. Mm-hmm. And you know, the Bible says, as far as Max seeing that Donald Trump is going to be elected, the Bible says in John 16, the Holy Spirit shall show you things to come.
Right. That's right.
So he's showing people things to come. These things are happening. Now, bless the Lord. I believe this part of the prophecy, which is on page 2. It says, let not your heart be fearful here.
Okay.
For there shall, and on the scene he is already arisen, one who shall respond unto the things of God, and whose heart will be open toward God, and your nation that seemed to be cut down to the roots. And the wild birds of the air and the fowls of the air came and roosted in her branches and did much disrepute unto the nation. Yet that shall all be repaired. Mm-hmm. Because this man shall say, I will walk in the way of God. I will trust also in him.
Yes.
He shall be at the head and many shall follow him. So he's the head of the nation, I believe.
Amen.
And the work of God shall be consummated. That must be consummated even in other nations before I come. I heard him say, God say, because you see, the enemy shall not gainsay the work of the Lord.
That's right.
And like a trumpet sounding across the valley, I heard his voice so strong and clear. And he said, I'm not coming for a church, the body of Christ, that is weak, emaciated, sickly, and underground. I'm coming for the spiritual giant that's alive and living and working the works of God. So he prophesied there'll be this leader. People will work miracles before the leaders. And then the church is just going to be this glorious church. Now, in this same prophecy, and today we're going to talk about translations. In this same prophecy, Brother Hagin prophesied that it shall be even so as it was with Philip, after that he had baptized the eunuch, that he was caught away and found in another city. And so one shall be in this city, and television cameras shall be trained upon him, and reporters will say, he's here in Dallas, Texas. But as fast as you can snap your finger, a television camera in Los Angeles would pick him up, wow, and he'll be there. And some will say, how did he do that? And it shall be the Spirit of the Lord that shall catch him away. I didn't say this is going to happen right now. He prophesied in 1974. But these signs and wonders shall become more prevalent. Signs and wonders have come here and come there, but they shall be prevalent and more prevalent in the last days. And then he prophesies about that leader. So connected with this time, I believe, of our having a new leader, also these times of a translation.
Praise God.
Now, Acts chapter 5, 8 and verse 5, Philip was translated. He went down to the city of Samaria. You can start with translations here, ladies, I gave you.
Okay, thank you.
Starting here. So Acts 8, 5, Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spoke, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. He's having a big meeting down in Samaria. Unclean spirits crying with a loud voice came out of people. In verse 8, chapter 8 of Acts says, there was great joy in that city. But the Lord called him away from that great meeting. Verse 26, and the angel of the Lord spoke unto Philip, saying, arise and go down to the south toward the way that goeth from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he went, and behold, he met a man, an Ethiopian, a eunuch, of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasure. And he was sitting in his chariot going back to Ethiopia, reading the book of Isaiah. And the Spirit of the Lord told Philip, go and join yourself to that chariot. And so Philip said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, no, I don't understand it. And so Philip taught him in Isaiah 53. He taught him that it was Jesus that it was talking about. Philip baptized a eunuch. Verse 839 on the next page, chapter 839. Mm-hmm. When they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. He was found at Azotus, which is about 20 to 28 miles away. He was translated like 20 to 28 miles away. Jesus was got into a boat once, and it said immediately that boat was on the other side.
Reading that.
So we see in the Bible translations. Now, we are going to see translations. That's what the prophecy said. We have seen them. They are in the church. Shelley is on here because I want her to tell about a couple of translations.
Okay. Which one, Mom?
The first one, we were in Paris, and we were translated together.
Yes.
And this one, we knew we were translated. It was, we were staying in the center of Paris. We were staying right next to the president's house. Our hostess, Babette,
yes,
Philippine Babette, mm-hmm, had a lovely apartment there for us in a hotel. And so then we had to get out to the airport, which is 50 miles from downtown. And they had a transportation strike. So when they
Paris
have a
transportation is bad on
oh,
the
man. Oh, man. When they had a transportation strike, everybody drove. And when they drove, there's just a bolygon. That's a word in Hebrew, which can tell you a bolygon. Hardly anybody moves. They all come and they honk their horns. And there's no taxi. But we had already arranged for a taxi to take us to the airport. He called us from the airport and he said, "I don't think you're going to make your flight because I've got to come from the airport down to get you. It's 50 miles." I said, "Well, come on." So he got there. We loaded our stuff in his car. And we started back to the airport. And what did it look like to you, Shelley, as we were in that taxi?
Well, it looked like clear sailing, almost like the Red Sea being parted. And even our taxi driver, who was not really religious.
Oh, no, not at all.
At all. He said, "This is a miracle.
This is a miracle."
And he kept saying, "Ladies, look at this. Watch this."
On the other side of the road, the traffic was all honk, 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 honk. But we seemingly were moving in a string of traffic just fine. And there was plenty of space in front of us and plenty of space behind us. And next thing you know, we were at the airport. It didn't take us as much time to get to the airport as it normally did. We were translated. He was overcome. He said, "This is a miracle. This is a miracle."
Yes.
And he got out and got all of our bags and took us to the plane. So we got translated and we knew it. But sometimes you get translated and you don't know it. And I want you to tell about that time that happened with you.
Well, at the time I was 27 years old and a wife and mother of two little children. And I had been used to traveling for the Lord. And now the kids are coming and there's laundry and cooking and not so much traveling for God. And I was had this little thought, oh, and I realized now it was the enemy. You're not praying for people enough.
And preaching enough.
Preaching enough. And look what you're doing. You're taking care of these kids. And, of course, that's the highest thing to do, being a mother and training them to be to know God. But anyway, the enemy. And so one night, I just laid my head on the pillow and I said, Lord, use me for your glory. And the next thing you know, I'm in this home. And every detail, I saw the man of the home. He was shoveling ashes out of a blonde brick fireplace. I saw his wife on the couch and her sister. I saw him make a pot of coffee, actually, open concept with the bar. And then they're enjoying their coffee. And I'm thinking, this is not strange. And all of a sudden, I saw Jesus. And I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Why am I here? And he said, pray. And so I just laid my hands out like this. They couldn't see me. And I just began to pray in other tongues. And then after a while, it was over. So I told my husband the next morning, and of course now he's in heaven, but we made a vow to each other that we would never tell a soul what happened because he didn't want people to think I was crazy.
I can understand.
And you can understand that. So now he's in heaven, I can tell. So this is what happened. A few months later, we are in a camp meeting, several thousand people.
Brother Hagin's camp meeting in
Tulsa. And I have my baby, he's about 9 months old, Cody, and have Kylie by the hand, and we're trying to find a place to sit. My husband had trying to park the car. And all of a sudden, all these people trying to get a good spot, and someone pushes me from behind, and I almost fall. And I'm thinking, well, someone full of the devil, I'm going to have to cast the devil out. So I'm turning around to say, in the name of Jesus, come out. But instead, I see this man who was cleaning his fireplace, whose home I had been in the spirit. And he said, ma'am, who are you? My wife and I have been watching you get up and down with the baby, and our hearts burn. We sense that we know you. Have you ever been to Alabama? Mm. Well, the funny thing is, I told my husband when it happened, I knew I was in the state of Alabama. That's all I knew. And he said, well, we're praying for you, and be blessed. And so it happened. And then a few months later after that is when the Lord launched the ministry in Alabama. And Mom, you may not know this, but this ring I'm wearing was given by Sister Lynn Hammond. And it's the first time I really met her. And she began to pray and weep. And it was right when your husband, went to be with the Lord. But by the Holy Spirit, he began to show us things and prepared our heart. Mm. So Alabama's always had a special place. But the thing that I take away from this was, God can use us even beyond our limitations.
Sure.
You know, we are a spirit created in His image.
We're pretty much always beyond limitations.
Absolutely. Yes, you said it, girl.
So those people somehow sensed you were there.
They did.
And you recognized them. But something in the spirit told them that you were there.
Yes.
Now, Gloria, there was a lady came out to Prayer Mountain, I don't know, been a year or so ago. And she said, I had to come and tell you this. She said, I was in the hospital. I think she said stage 4 cancer. Mm. And there was no hope for me. And she said, I came to thank you because you and Gloria came to pray for me.
Oh, Billy.
And she said, you walked up to my bed. She knew it was a translation later on. You walked up to my bed, you laid hands on me, and you prayed. And she said, I began to get better from that hour. Now, Gloria, I remember that you used to do regularly what Shelley did that night when she said, Lord,
just use me, take my life, do something with it.
You used to pray, Lord, if you want to use me anywhere in the world tonight, use me.
So I figure it was one of those nights.
I'm gonna start praying that again, Sheila.
Yes. I think I should start praying it again, too. It was one of those nights, I believe, that you and I were translated to her. And she literally came by Prayer Mountain to thank me.
Praise God.
Even though we did not know that God was using us in this way. So I believe that God can use you in that way. You know, your spirit being can be translated even without your body. Our bodies were translated in Paris. Mm-hmm. But her spirit was translated to Alabama. And another instance of this happening, tomorrow we're going to talk more about translations. But Brother Kenneth E. Hagin, you know, I worked for him for several years. And this woman and her husband, her brother was an adult, but he was sick because he had had a lifetime of alcoholism. And he lived in a little house close by their house. And she came to camp meeting, Kenneth E. Hagin's camp meeting, and she got a prayer cloth. And she took it home and she pinned it to her brother's pajamas without his knowing. Wasn't long after that till he was delivered, completely set free.
Praise
God. Glory to God.
And she gave him, I know this because I worked for Kenneth Hagin and I saw the letter. So after he completely got set free, she started giving him good books to read. And she gave him Kenneth Hagin books. And Brother Hagin's books are on the back of it. His picture is on the back of it. And he said to his sister, "That's the man that came and cast the devil out of me."
Oh, awesome.
With that, remember that Paul said when these cloths are taken, they will drive the devils?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, but he saw that man come. He saw Kenneth Hagin come. Now, I asked Brother Hagin, did you realize, I wanted to know, I worked for him. I said, did you know that you did this? No, he didn't know it. This is being used by God. And we're going to talk about some more about the singing and David Ingalls and that tomorrow.
Yes, and also Paavo.
And Paavo. But we'll talk about that tomorrow. But these translations are going to happen.
Praise God.
Some you know about. Some you know about, don't know about. But this is the supernatural church. And it's even upon us right now.
And it definitely have examples of it in the Scripture.
It's in the Word.
Yes, it's in the Word, yeah.
Are they telling us we're on time? We'll be right back.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And remember, Jesus is Lord.